I'd like to begin just today's shmooze. Again, recognizing that it's been a tough week for Klal Yisrael. Certainly, the yeshiva has been tough, and Klal Yisrael in general, having lost the Golden Dor, we made our best attempt to be there for as much as we can. Could have it. We unfortunately fell a little short. At least most of us did. We weren't able to get there. Some of us even lost our wallet in the process. But our job was to try to be part of something very, very special and really an occasion that shouldn't happen often, but when it happens, it's really up to us to try our best to be part of it, to join the rest of Klal Yisrael. I want to take just a few minutes of your time and analyze the personality of Yosef HaTzadik. I want to discuss some things about them that bother me, and that I think at first glance, if you look at them, they're bothersome. And if we can take a step back after we finish pointing out all the problems that we have, we're going to get a different picture of Yosef completely, and I think it'll make you appreciate so much more the role he played for us, even today. We'll start off with the first thing that bothers me. This is a question that actually Gabe Leifer asked me last week, and I whoever's on our team got the answer. I don't know if you looked at the pshat he gave over. You know, if you look in last week's parsha, in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pesukim Dalet through Vav. I'll read the Pesukim to you. Vayiru Echav ki oso ahav avihem mikol achav yisnu oso. The father, Yosef, saw how much Yaakov loved Yosef. Everyone saw how much Yaakov loved Yosef, and the brothers hated Yosef for that. They hated him. They couldn't speak to him even nicely. He had a dream. He told them the dream. They hated him even more. And he went to tell the dream anyways. He had his second dream. And then he told them the dream also. You'd expect that someone of Yosef's brain power, he was a very knowledgeable person, he knew a lot, should have had social awareness. What happened to his social skills? His brothers hate his guts because his father favors him. He calls him out for a family meeting. Let me hear the dream I just had. Tell me the dream. I can't believe this dream. Listen to what it is. They couldn't speak to him. They hate him so much afterwards. Then he calls for like a 2.0 version of that same dream. He should go to a counselor, a life coach, teach him social skills. What was he thinking? Question number one. Moving along. Question number two. Perek Mem, Pasuk Tes. Last week's parsha still. He's in jail right now, having almost committed a crime. We mentioned this last week a little bit, this crime he almost committed with Eshes Potiphar.
They think he did commit it.
Well, she screamed that he didn't. He tried. They think he tried, and then they think he committed it. Pasuk Tes, Perek Mem. Vayisaper Sarah Mashkim Eskalamol Yosef. They have dreams. Sarah Mashkim and Sarah Ofim. They tell the dreams to Yosef. Listen to the dream that Sarah Mashkim had, okay? Here I was, he says, and there was a vineyard in front of me. And in Begefen, Shlosha, Sarigim, there were three vines, or there were three buds. It was Parachas, Al-Sanitza, it was blossoming. And there were actually clusters already ready. I had the coast of Paro in my hand. I took the grapes, I squeezed them out, I gave them to Paro. It was like, you know what? I got it. You are going to once again give the cup to Paro. You can get restored to your original position. Was that so difficult to figure out? I could have said the same thing in that dream. Someone gives you a dream. Your dream is, these are Sarah Mashkim. They have a dream, they took grapes, squeezed it into a cup, and handed it back to Paro. Oh, don't tell me. I got it. You're going to go back to your job, squeezing grapes, and back to Paro's hand. What do you think, huh? Impressive? And yet, Sarah Mashkim are over like, whoa. Whoa, that's good. With all due respect, I could have gotten that. I could have the same interpretation of that dream. As a matter of fact, I imagine most dream interpreters being told that dream by the Sarah Mashkim would have guessed the same thing. That's my guess. What is the impressive nature of Yosef's interpretation of the dream? Now, fast on this week's parsha. So two questions we have right now. Question number one, why is it telling the dreams over? And what was impressive about his interpretation of the dream that he had of the Sar HaMashkim? This week's parsha. We're bothered by Yosef. What is he doing to the brothers? He is playing them. He is like putty in his hands, and he is like sucking them dry, torturing them. Yosef is a tzaddik. We do not assume he stam had revenge on his mind. We shouldn't assume that. And yet, as you read the psukim, it's hard not to believe that's what he was doing. So some say, you know what he was trying to do? He wanted them to have tshuva. He wanted to tshuva. They should have tshuva that they did something wrong, and they should repent. So he's giving them the greatest gift, the chance to repent. The problem is, if you look at the Pesukim inside, we'll look at it right now. In Perek Mem Beis, Pasuk Chav Aleph, after the first shtick he pulls with them, where he accused them of being spies, there were 12 of them, different entrances, must be trying to scour the land. So what does he hear happen? He says to them, if you're not really, you know, you can bring this your last kid over, bring him here, and I'll let you guys out. They said to their friend, we're guilty. We're guilty. We saw him in pain. He cried out to us from the boar. We ignored him. We're guilty. That's why this whole thing's happening to us. Yosef should take off his mask at that point in time and embrace them. Oh, you did it. Tshuva Gemura. Here I am with Yosef. You passed your test. Far from it. He goes back and he says over here, he goes to cry. He can't listen. It's so painful, so powerful. He goes to cry, actually. But he goes back again. And he goes back and says, you can't come back here again until you send your little brother here also. Okay. Then you want to fast forward towards the end of the Parsha. Perek Mem Dal, Pasuk Tet Zayin, he plants the goblet in Binyamin's bag. What do they say? Vayomer Yehuda, Manu Mar Ladumni, what can I say? How can I defend myself? God has found the crimes of your servants. God has seen us. We're guilty. They didn't do this crime. He didn't do this crime, but they've been guilty. They're guilty of Yosef. They confess once again. We'll be avadim la'adoni. We'll all be slaves now. We deserve it. Yosef wasn't taking any of it. As a matter of fact, next is Parsha. Fast forward this part, then I'll kind of bring it together and explain what I think Yosef is doing and what he's telling us. Next week's Parsha, once again, we have Yehuda comes and approaches. Maybe you could tell me, maybe. We'll get to this in 1 minute. And I'll go through each part for a second before I get to the last part. Two things are wrong with Yosef. Two things are wrong. Number one, imagine sitting by, anybody, sitting by and eating bread while someone's in a pit screaming for help, and you just don't give them the attention, the time of the day. Why did the brothers do what they did? How could the brothers throw Yosef into a pit? How come they were going to kill him? What right did they have? Were they just being like they were mean people? They were the Shiftei Kah. They were the Shvatim of Yaakov Avinu. They're our ancestors. They're the tzaddikim. What were they thinking? They're thinking the following thing. Chazal tell us they were thinking that up until now, I mentioned this last time. I think up until now there was always one child in a family that made it out of that family. There was Yitzhak in Avram's family. There was Yaakov in Yitzhak's family. And it sounded like at this point in time, just the way Yosef was maneuvering things, he was going to be the next one, they were all out. And they knew it wasn't supposed to happen that way. They knew there was supposed to be 12 tribes, and Yosef was one of them. But he was kind of knocking them out of the way. And it's either one or 11. Who's going to make it out of here? They felt Yosef was a threat to the Jewish people's future. He deserved to be punished. Not punished, he deserved to be taken out so that the 11 of them could shine and become the Shvatim they're supposed to be one day, the Shvatim they're supposed to become. Okay, but you know what? At the end of the day, your brother's crying to you from the pit. Like, show some mercy. The first time they confess, what did they say? The first time they confess, Perek Mem Beis, when we started with this week's Parsha, said the following thing. We're guilty that we saw our brother's pain. He cried for us and we didn't listen to him. We should have mercy on him. We should have mercy. We were wrong not to have extra level of mercy. For that, we do tshuva. Yosef says over here, pretty good, but not enough. I want you to admit that you were wrong in how you judged me. And the game's not over yet. Sure enough, comes along the end of the parsha, they say, we're guilty. We were wrong. We were actually, we were guilty. Now we should have had mercy on him. No, we were wrong what we did. Okay? That should be enough now. But once again, Yosef's not done yet. Next week's parsha, we find Yosef once again put him through the ringer. They're not letting him go. Yehuda has to come and beg on behalf of Binyamin and Yaakov, etc. Now, maybe you'll tell me that he still had to see, he has to show that when one brother, now Binyamin's a favorite brother, I assume, he's the last one left of Rachel. And they would give up themselves for Binyamin, that would be Tshuva Gemura, in the final passion, the final way. And that's what it sounds like in the Torah. They come and they beg for Binyamin on his behalf. And eventually Yosef can't hold himself back anymore and he lets them go. But the Medrash has a different story. Listen to the Medrash. I'll tell you outside, I don't have it inside, but listen to the first pasuk that he quotes bases on. In Perek Mem Hei, next week's parasha, pasuk Aleph, the beginning of Yigash. Yosef could no longer contain himself. He couldn't hold on anymore. Says the Medrash, he was still trying to hold on. He still wanted very much to hold on to this charade. Says the Medrash that when Yosef said, I'm not letting you go, Binyamin, so Yehuda turns to Naftali. He says, Naftali, I want you to, Naftali was known as like the Jewish version of Flash. He's very, very fast. Run around Mitzrayim and come back here. How many marketplaces are there in all of Egypt? He came back and he said, I think there are 12. There are 12 marketplaces. Now, Binyamin's locked up right now. There's 10 of them left. He says, each of you, 9 of you besides me, each one of you, I want you to go and destroy one marketplace in Mitzrayim, and I'm going to destroy 3 myself. Yehuda says, we'll take down the entire country. That's what the Medrash says. At that point, Yosef says, oh, here, no, call off the dogs. Okay, it's me, I'm Yosef. Don't do it. What was Yosef waiting to see? This is unbelievable pshat. I'm sure with you, it's not my own pshat. It's the pshat of Shem Yishmuel, the sucker pshat of Rebbe. It's unbelievable pshat he gives on this topic. And I'll explain to you, hopefully, what you see with Yosef throughout the entire lifespan of Yosef. There was a time in history when Jewish people were martyred, when we had the famous 10 martyrs that we talk about during Tisha B'Av, talk about them during Yom Kippur as well. How does the story start? You know how the story starts? The 10 martyrs? How does the story start? Anybody?
10 martyrs.
We describe in Yom Kippur, Musaf, and during the keynotes of Tisha B'Av, we describe the 10 martyrs, Rabbi Akiva, we had the skin flayed off, and Tupin Kiddush, they were... So how does the story begin?
Nebuchadnezzar says, tell me what happens if you put someone in prison. If you
kidnap and you sell your...
You tell them what's supposed to happen, they say, well, you're supposed to be sentenced to death. Well, no one was sentenced to death, now you need to...
Excellent. Mr. Leibowitz tells us the whole story began with the following thing, and I'm going to get back to that point he raised right now. Yosef HaTzadik saw this opportunity to do Tshuva Gemura. There were 3 levels Bnei Israel failed with. Number 1 is that they didn't have extra mercy, the brother was crying. Number 2, they were wrong in the first place. Number 3, they didn't do yet. The third level was, they didn't understand what was happening around them. It's true, Yosef seems to be kind of making them minimal players in the Jewish people's future. It's true. And therefore, they feel that their time of being instructed might not ever come. What they should have done, they should have said to Kadosh Baruch, you know what? I don't get what's happening here, but you run the world. I'm a kabbal your decisions in the world. I'll do my best I can, but I'm a kabbal your decisions. They should have, when they saw Yosef maneuvering him out of the way, when they threw him out of the way, they should have said at the end of the day, Kadosh Baruch, we're going to do the right thing in life. I don't know what's happening right now, but we give. We don't know what's happening. We trust your judgment at the end of the day. Give me one sec. That was the last thing Yosef needed them to do. Because if they had done that, and they said at the end of the day, listen, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we give. Whatever you want in the world, we'll give up. We bow to your hashkacha in the world. And the 10 martyrs would never have happened to the Shem Yishmuel. He was trying to wait for the last moment in time that Yehuda and the brothers would say, you know what, I don't get it, I give up. But it never took place. It never did tshuva. So later on in life, we have a story. Mr. Leibowitz just brought it down. What happened to the 10 brothers? How does the story go? They go to Shemayim. They says, "Rabbi Leibowitz, right?" He says, "What do you want us to do, Hashem? What do you want us to do?" And he says, "Take it. Take it for one for the team." Yosef saw the future was going to be this. He was trying to pull every string possible so the brothers could have a complete repentance. Step by step, he just wanted them to be able to figure out, this is where the world is heading. I need you to be makabel, the din of Shemayim. And if you do it the right way, we can spare 10 martyrs in the future. But when Yehuda was given that final chance with the brothers, he turned to them and said, let's take down Egypt. We're not okay with taking down Egypt. They refused to accept the din of Shemayim. Or they just accepted the Kadosh Baruch Hu would run the world the way he's supposed to run it in the end. And they created havoc, and Yosef said, before you do that, I got to give up. Okay, the game's over. I have to pull the plug earlier. He was trying his hardest to let there be a world when we had Rabbi Akiva for longer. Where we'd be able to have no stories on Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur of reading like this. He gave them the chance, and that last piece of the puzzle they never could complete in the end. Yosef was a visionary. He was a visionary. You know what he did, Yosef? You know why his dream was so impressive with the Sar Mashkim? I believe the reason why is because he said the following things. This will happen in 3 days from now. The number three was there. There were three things, but he goes at 3 years from now. You know how gutsy it is to make a call about something in 3 days? They liked the dream interpretation because they understood that no one in their right mind would make such a quick call like that. A guy's in jail and you're predicting 3 days to be different? 3 years! People all the time, they predict a lot of things in the world. In 28 years from now, this is what's going to happen. In 100 years from now, you know what your prediction? You're safe. You have so much time, people can look at you and put you as a predictor of things until the secret's out that you were wrong. But to suggest 3 days? That's dream interpretation suicide. Because 3 days from now, you're wrong. And the gig's up. You're not such a good dream teller in the end. But Yosef had such a belief in a God's plan. Such a belief that he felt the need to tell his brothers what the plans were. Even though it was terrible for his relationship with him. It was terrible. But he trusted that there's a game plan in life and I'm supposed to play a role, and so is each of you, he told his brothers. So are you. Just do your part. My part will be the king. Your part will be to bow to me. That's your part. It's my part. It's our part. God chose us for these roles. But play your part. It wasn't about brotherly love or lack thereof. It was about having a vision that there's a God who runs the world and our job is to be part of that world, part of that dream that God has for us. And he lived his life that way. His entire life. From the time when he started off with the brother's dreams to when he was with Ishmael Potiphar fighting his Yetzer Hara for the dream of the way the world, that he's supposed to be on the breastplate. His name's supposed to be there on the breastplate also. He should have also been part of the Shvatim. And he pulled it out of a very difficult action. Because he saw that his future belonged elsewhere. His plan with God would have been lost. And his whole dream with the brothers was just to hope that they would see this place that every person has a role in the world. And the brothers in the end never got to that last point. And Nebuch, we had to have the 10 martyrs to finish off the job. That's what they did. They went to Shemayim and Hashem says, this is my gzerah. You should take it. And they took it and they died. Because the ruler there was not Yosef HaTzadik. He wasn't the ruler there. It was a Russia. And therefore to take it meant to die. But we live in a world of Russia today that's not like that. We don't live in a world of people threatening us that way. But we're no different. Every single person has a role. God runs a mastery of a world. And you have roles in it. You can either live your role properly or find some other role you think you should be playing and it's the wrong role altogether. This comes out everywhere in life. Whether you're in the Beis Medrash, when you're older, when you have a family, when you have a career, you have one role. Your role is to be a person who represents Kiddush Hashem in the world. It's your only role you have. In yeshiva, it means one thing. In the workforce, means something else. But Yosef was tzaddik because he recognized no matter what happens in the world, there's always a role to be played. And our job is nothing more than that. We spent our lives up until this year, many of us, of planning for our role in careers, of our roles in other areas, but not so much our role in religion. And now we're here. You're in a Beis Medrash. And you have two choices you have in front of you. You can try to invest in yourself, building up your role in religion, in Shemayim, in your davening. Or forget about that role. And use our phones, let's say, for games. Or to follow to hopefully win our fantasy football league. And do extra studying, extra trade maneuvers in the middle of Seder time, the Beis Medrash. That's the role you think God has in mind for us? It's not the role He has in mind for us. It's true there are break times, for sure. But Beis Medrash time, you're able to invest in yourself. This year is a year when you're able to try to strengthen the role that you have religiously. I told Mr. Liebowitz this morning, I'll tell it to you right now also, I told it to all you who pitched last year. If your religious peak is when you're 18 years old, we are in a ton of trouble. A ton of trouble. It's true you might not have the hours ever again like you'll have right now. That's true. This is a preparation stage for you to be building up the strength to connect to God. So when you leave the walls of the yeshiva and you go to a different place, different culture, different society, you do not leave the yeshiva behind. Because you've invested enough in yourself to know that I play an important role. I would not be here by God if I didn't. In fact, every day I wake up in the morning, I say it in my tefillah, I say it again right now, you say, et cetera, Yeah, you gave back my life, my neshama, bechel with great mercy, and you end off with the two words. You say, Rab munasecha, which means great is your faith, God, in me. Rabba emunasecha. You must have tremendous faith that I'm going to play the role you want me to play. You gave me another day to do it. You can spend your entire life missing the boat, but you gave me another day. That means you think today is the day I'm going to really figure this out. This year, this period of time, Hanukkah, is a time for role playing. People who were zakenim, who were chalashim, who were tahorim, they played a different role they were expected to play. They played the role of warriors. They say that was their job at that time. They had leaders who directed them to be, this is your job now. And they did it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected them from harm because they did that role. Right now, our role is different. It's not to win our fantasy football league. It's not to follow our favorite soccer team or football team. It's not our role. It's nice on the side. On the side, you want to do it, it's on the side. But your investing of your time and your energy is not in that. You don't sacrifice your time in the Beis Medrash to watch a game or a series of your favorite television show. You don't sacrifice that. It's not your role. That would be a grave mistake to think that's what this year, this time is about. There are times in life for chilling and for everything else. Even this year, there are times like that. But when the Seder begins, the Seder begins. If I'm not here on time, your role is no different. You have the opportunity to take a Sefer with you and learn. And if I'm busy with talking to another student, you don't know what's going on in the Gemara, you can go grab a dictionary, ask someone else a question. Your Chavrus takes a break. Doesn't mean that you're stopped with your effort in learning. You have the opportunity now to develop more and more every moment that we're here. It's so precious. As you get older, you'll understand more that we don't have the opportunity anymore like this. Halavai, we could be back in the Beis Medrash learning all day long. Halavai. This is your chance to invest in yourself in a way where from this point forward, you continue the investment. That's our job. That's our role. Yosef is called a tzaddik because he understood that about himself and others. If you get that message, you understand that point, you know what's not your role, what situations you should be avoiding, situations you should be embracing, then you too are a tzaddik. No different than Yosef is a tzaddik. Just different role maybe, but no different as far as being a tzaddik. I'll give you a bracha. Self a bracha. We should understand that we each have roles in life. Some of us will be those who are playing a much more vocal, active leadership role. Some of us may be only playing a supporting role. But every single role is important. Know yourself, understand your role better, and Mr. Shem, we should be zocha to live our roles, and each of us will be a tzaddik in our own right. Have a great Shabbos. Amen.